question was asked, why are we careful in Judaism to speak in a clean language? What difference does it make what word we use to describe the same thing? Why are euphemisms important? Why is it better to speak in a clean language? Why is it important not to be vulgar? At the end of the day, you're describing the same thing. You're expressing the same thing. In one way, it's being more overt, and in another way, it's being less overt. Why does that matter? That's your question, right? Mm-hmm. So, Chazal tell us that there is an importance of speaking cleanly. It's an element of holiness. According to Rambam, the reason Lashon HaKodesh is called Lashon HaKodesh, the holy tongue, is because in its natural state, there are no words for things that are immodest. Everything is a euphemism. We don't have a word for intimacy that directly explains the act. We have a term called tashmish amita, the use of the bed. There isn't such a word as to copulate. There are no words that directly describe that. We don't have a word to defecate. We have a word, la'asech raglav, to pour out his legs. We don't have a word of... It's modern Hebrew. We don't have a word to urinate. We have a word, mei raglaim, the water of the feet. I'm saying, no. So we, even a bathroom is called Beit HaKisei, the house of the chair. It's not called the toilet. Okay? So the idea is that when we invoke modesty in our speech, when we take things that we should be embarrassed to talk about overtly, and we are embarrassed by using euphemisms, so then we are being more holy. It affects me. The idea that when we speak about a couple being intimate, so we say, they slept together, vishki shkavet isha, a man will sleep with a woman. So we don't say all the direct words that exist in English to describe what's happening there. Shichvat zera, a layer of seed, doesn't say what's happening there. Mekorah era, he revealed... well, it's a way of saying that he ejaculated in her, but the Torah doesn't use that word. The Torah in Torah we don't have a word for ejaculation. All these things, when the Talmud wants to describe whether witnesses have to see the insertion of the male organ into the female organ, so the Talmud says, do you have to witness it kemichol bashfoferet, the way you would dip the pen liner, the eyeliner, into the tube in which you have the paint in which you'd be coloring your eyeshadow. So it doesn't speak about a male organ or a female organ. It says kimikhol bashfoferet, just like the pen liner for the eye dipped into the tube. That's the euphemism the Talmud uses for the question, do witnesses, when they witness an act of illicit relationship, do they actually have to see the insertion? So there, everything you want, Chazal want to speak about pubic hair. So there's no such thing as pubic hair. There's zakan, your beard, and zakan tachton, the lower beard. Chazal didn't have words for the female organs. They called it the rooms. They called it the rechem, the womb, as though there's just the womb. What do you mean there's just the womb? In English we know there's a canal, there are other things down there that lead to the canal. So in Hebrew it's all... the lower lips, that we use terms that are euphemisms. The Talmud talks about rooms. How many rooms are there in a woman? There's the hallway, there's the upper room, the lower room. Chazal are describing the compartments of a woman, of how her uterus is built. But Chazal use those terminology. So I'm saying the language uses euphemisms. It doesn't use direct words because... part of being holy is that we don't directly speak about things that are immodest. It's natural, right? It's natural, but even natural things, there are things that we don't speak about directly. So that's point number one. Point number two is that we connect to things that we speak about. If we speak about positive things, we become more positive. If we speak about happy things, we become more happy. This has been proven in all forms, in different types of research. And we also believe that by using certain terms, we give certain powers, in the sense that the mere mention of someone by name gives them a certain validity. The more you talk about a person by name, the more validity you give to the person. Right? Until he became president, I wouldn't say his name. I felt he was so vulgar and filthy that I didn't want to say his name. Today, it's a household word. I remember 5-10 years ago when someone gave me as a gift his book. So I felt like I had to read it. And
whose book?
The current president of the United States.
Oh, that was I thought that was only when he became president.
No, it was about a decade ago that someone gave me his book.
You took your own horn, right?
Right.
And he didn't like it.
It is one of the most, probably, I don't know if the most, but one of the most vulgar things I ever read in my life. I couldn't finish it.
Did you grow up religious?
Baruch Hashem, I grew up in an observant home.
Okay.
I'm not saying there aren't more vulgar things out there. I just found it to be extremely vulgar, arrogant.
Like sexually vulgar? Or
no.
Like, just like rude?
The way, no.
He wrote
just
the book?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's not only arrogant and rude, it's also vulgar. I mean, even the way he talks about people.
About how he became rich, right? It's the one about how he became rich.
It's not only about how he became rich. He talks about a lot of people, and he's always putting people down, and his value system is...
Supports Israel.
Okay, I'm happy he supports Israel. That doesn't make wrong things right. I'm saying that it's a good thing he supports Israel, but it's still wrong to view women as an object of desire, to talk about women's beauty in such an open way. We're not saying people aren't beautiful, but when that becomes a focus, so you've demeaned the people.
You can't, people have attacked him for that, but the thing is, if you look at the presidents throughout time, what president makes it? Maybe Obama didn't have a illicit relationship.
I'm not going there. Leave that. I'm just saying again, we view that the our speech gives a certain credence. When you're willing to talk about someone by name, there's a reason why. If you notice, mothers-in-law, what's her name? You ever notice that? When they're talking about the daughter-in-law, Chaim's coming for Shabbos with what's her name? What's her name is the daughter-in-law. All right, yes. I always forget her name. Right. The reason is because when you state someone's name, you're giving them credence. There's a reason that King Saul would call David Ben Yishai, son of Yishai. He didn't want to say who he was.
Always like that when it says Ben Amram?
Yes, Ben Amram was putting down Moshe. Yeah, when they wanted to speak bad about Moshe, so the spies called him Ben Amram, yeah. And when Kalev wanted them to think he was on their side, so he also began by saying...
So the Gemara in Masechet Shabbat where the Malach HaMavit looks after Ben Amram, God says, go to Ben Amram, the Torah is with him.
You have to ask that question, right? Why it says Ben Amram there, 100%. The commentaries do ask. Yes. And so, coming back to here. So, the halacha says that when we speak about idols, we should change their names. We don't give them the credence of saying their name the way they call themselves. And we learn this from the Torah. When the Torah speaks about idols, the Torah changes their names too.
Molech and Balkor and Balzvul.
I have to tell you the truth. You've made such a terrific case because up until this moment in my whole life, when I started having beliefs, you know, at an age you start having your beliefs, I was very pro lack of euphemism. And I always really was of the opinion that it's a horrible thing to do because it takes away, because in my mind, it's deceptive. It's not saying the truth about things, but the way you put it is, it's good.
It's modest.
Yeah, it's modest. No one ever says it like that. The thing is, when Western morals are basically, because most of the world is Christian now, so that's what comes across. They don't make their points so well about how to do things. So you just hear them, it's bad. It's bad. It's bad to say bad words.
No, so you see,
reasons, yeah.
Right, and we also say That what I'm telling you now is a Gemara in the beginning of Tractate Pesachim.
Okay.
And what we also say, which I just did, we say is that if you can't get your point across without using the word, use the word. Meaning, if I had to say copulate, I said copulate. I chose copulate as opposed to other words. But even copulate is a word that I don't use in my classes. I'll talk about intimacy. But that's a euphemism when I say intimacy, right? Yes. But I'm trying to get a point across. So I'm going to say the word urinate and defecate, etc., because that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says when you need it to teach, to get a point across, so you use whatever words you need to get the point across.
But if you can avoid it, so...
Right.
But what if rather... Okay, let's say, you know, somewhat you stub your toe. It's better to say just a random word instead of a derogatory word.
I think that it's a good idea to get into the habit of saying something like yoish, as opposed to swearing. But a person should know that if he swore, he didn't do a prohibition. Mm-hmm. These are areas that we say it's a question of refinement. The right. Torah is teaching us how to be more refined people. It's not a prohibition.
Strive towards this.
Right.
But let's say the word damn. So if you,
right.
If you stub your toe and...
Damn is different, though. Because damn is to curse. Curse not in the sense of... If you use a word that means feces,
uh-huh.
So that's different. Then you took something vulgar,
uh-huh.
And you expressed it. But if you use a word like damn basically means to curse. It's like saying curse. Damn is not, damn means to curse. So to say curse is not a curse. You understand what I'm saying? You're saying the verb, curse. You're not saying the noun, feces. If a person were to stub his toe and say feces, so there are more vulgar ways of saying feces. So then he's taking something vulgar and expressing it. But if a person stubs his toe and says curse.
If you use another word and it sounds similar, but you're changing some vowels or consonants, and everyone knows what you mean, does it amount to the same thing?
No. You stub your toe and you say slip.
Huh.
Fudge.
Yeah, fudge. People know what you mean.
Right. I would definitely say a person should aspire not to say that, but there's nothing wrong with it. Again, is it ideal? No, but it's much better. Well, I want my kids to be in the habit of not saying it. So they're in the habit of not saying it. They say the Israeli, why? Right? That's what Israelis say, why? Or wow? Or yoish? Okay. Again, this isn't the prohibition.
Right, it's refinement.
It's refinement.
Or in schools of